Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few will hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose true, dare to make it known. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God hath been a host by joining Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose true, dare to make it known. Many giants great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory's grand. Satan and his host defy and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Thank you, boys. All right. If you would, go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to be at. A very familiar passage. As I was thinking about Father's Day, this passage came up several weeks ago that I was going to preach, but then as I was studying other things, I had other messages, but this here was one the Lord just gave me for today, Father's Day. And we're going to reference this into for dads, but it's really for everybody today. Ephesians chapter 6, if you'll find your place there. When you do, go ahead and stand. We're going to read verses 10 through 18 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10 through 18. Ephesians, if you can stand. If you can't stand, you don't have to. But if you can stand, stand. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, going down through 18. All right, let's begin. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you so much for the men of our church, the fathers, Father, that are raising their children in the nurture and admonition. They would train them to be the servants, to take the place of those of us that are here today as adults. And I pray that you continue to guide and direct, help our church family, to show our children what it is to serve. For today, as wicked the world is, it's going to be much wickeder in years to come. And I pray you give us that strength and that power and that understanding that we would know exactly how you want us to live, what you want us to do, and be what you want us to be. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the Word of God. And we pray now that you just bless the message to each one of our hearts, that we would learn something and be able to apply it as we leave this place today. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've already mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and basically that's what is looking at this message. If you go past there, it's talking about servants and masters, and again, talking about doing the will of God. And all of this stems from the whole book of Ephesians. When he comes to the point, he says, finally. This is where he's wrapping things up. He's going to put it all together, and he's telling us and trying to help us understand, this is the focal point now. Is here's what I'm going to give you. It's going to be something that's going to help you the rest of your lives. Now, we are all going to let our guard down. It's going to happen. There are going to be times when we don't have the whole armor of God. We might just have five pieces instead of seven. But we want to have all seven. And that's why he's reminding us of these things. Yes, there are seven pieces here that we need to take daily with us that we can walk as God has called us to walk as believers, as children of light, as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this passage this morning, again, being reminded that God has called us to do something, and he's given us the weapons to do it with, the armor that's going to help us to do that. He says, finally, my brethren, he's talking to Christians there, people who put their faith and trust in Christ. There's been a time when you've understood that you were lost, that Jesus died for you, and you accepted that, and you asked him to save you, and he did. That's who he's talking to this morning. If that's never occurred in your life, today could be that day of salvation. Today could be the day that you put your faith and trust in Jesus, realizing that I've never done that, that I am lost, and that Jesus died for me. And today, understanding that, you can call on the name of the Lord, and the Bible says you shall be saved. It can happen. In Ephesians chapter 2, just flip over there for a second if you would. So he's talking to brethren, and I just want to remind us who we were, and there are some that are still like this today, but there's a difference in our lives. Something has happened to us. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, and you hath he quickened. That word quickened means to be made alive. That's what happened when you got saved. You were made alive. I'm not talking about the physical life. You were already breathing, walking, and talking, but it's a spiritual life. Something has changed in you. He says, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That is the evidence of someone who is lost. They're following the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the children now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was our nature. That's who we were. Wherefore is by one man sin in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Because of Adam's sin, we're all sinners. That's our nature. That's who we were. And then verse 4. But God. Boy, I tell you, every time I come across one of those words, I love it. Who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here's that point. God has done something for us. He's talking to those very people. The book of Ephesians is written to the church there at Ephesus. He's talking to those who have been born again. And he's reminding us of this very thing. What happened? When we got born again, we got a new life. And that happened when we accepted Christ as our Savior. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Not only did we get a new life, but we got a new spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we got a new life, we got a new spirit, we got a new calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began, for the foundation of the world, God knew he was going to send his son because Bruce Townsend was a sinner and he was lost. And that's why he died, was for me. And when I accepted him as my Savior, he gave me a new calling. He changed my direction. He changed my life. And he will do that very thing to every person in this room. And there's evidence of that today. We're no longer the servants of sin, but the servants of God. as Paul has written in Ephesians chapter 4. We're in the book of Ephesians. Just flip over there. Look what he calls himself. This is a man who's been born again, has trusted Christ as his Savior. He calls himself a prisoner. He says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." He's a prisoner. Now, some of us will look at that and go, "I don't want to be a prisoner. I don't want to be cast in jail. I don't want to be in that situation." None of us want to go into the penal system, right? Say amen. We don't want to do that. But this is different. When we got saved, it was submission to God that made us a prisoner. See, God didn't make Paul a prisoner. Paul made himself a prisoner because he's willing to follow God and be obedient to Him. But He also told us that we're in a race. Turn over to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, a very familiar passage, just two verses. He's talking about Hebrews chapter 11 when he starts in Hebrews chapter 12. But he reminds us that we are in this race. In verse 1 it says, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." There have been people who have gone on before us. Praise the Lord. If you're saved today, you're going on before somebody else. And you're an example to somebody else what it is to live the Christian life. They're looking to you to know what it is to be a Christian. Just like they did in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." There's something set before us. There's a goal for us. God has given us a new direction. We're prisoners, or should be, of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in a race that God has called us to run. He told us how to do it in verse 2. He says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God." So we're in this race, and God has given it to us. But we're also soldiers. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Today we're talking about putting on the armor of God, living the Christian life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 1. Paul is writing again to Timothy. I guess this is one of the pastoral epistles. This is the last one he wrote. He says in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son," talking to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is given," excuse me, "that is in Christ Jesus." That kind of almost sounds like "be strong in the Lord," isn't it? Kind of same thing. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That kind of dispels the thought that when you get saved, everything's a bed of roses, doesn't it? He says, endure hardness. There's going to be some hardness along the way. In verse 4, he says, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." We are chosen by Christ Jesus to be a soldier. So he's teaching us that we're to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. In other words, my strength to live the Christian life is not within me to do. I cannot do that. I need God's strength. I need His power. And when I submit to God, thereby comes the strength and power to do it. When I submit to Him and trust Him, I am capable to do all things which Christ give me the strength to do. I can do all things in Christ which strengthens me. And we know that. We understand that. We experience that, most of us in this room. So he starts off and he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Today, I want to encourage dads to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in His power. Realizing the decisions you make for your family need to come from the Word of God. They're the ones that are going to count and make a difference. In verse 11, he says, "Put on." So now we got to do something. This is for each one of us, everybody, including dads, but dads especially today, is to put on the whole armor of God. And there's a reason for it. He says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. So here he's telling us, number one, that we can't do it on our own, that there is a battle going on between God and the devil. We're the soldiers, those who've been born again, that are bought with that price, and we're there or here to fight that enemy, or to be prepared to stand against the enemy, realizing that we have a commander, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that we don't have the strength in our own to do this. It's only through God that we can do this. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, 11 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's where our strength comes. Increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, put on the whole armor of God, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so again, it's the strength of the Lord we put this armor on. And He says the wiles of the devil. I looked up that word wiles. You ever wonder, what does that mean? What's that word? Where's that word come from? You ever think about that? Well, it's the word, and I'm going to mispronounce this, so forgive me. It's meth-od-ia. And it's where we get the word methods from in the English. Wiles, methods. Why? Because the devil's methods often are what the church takes on today to do what they're supposed to be doing in the power of God instead of the power of the world. Methods are not the key. What is the key is God's strength. Well, here He has a method. That word method means traveling over. It means travesty. You ever heard of the word of transvestite? It's trickery. That's what that word means. And of course, Peter, he reminds us in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes we take that lightly. I know I do sometimes. But it's serious business. When you get into the thick of the battle, he's there and he's going to do everything he can do to drive you away from God. You got to be on guard. How are we going to do that? By putting on the whole armor of God. That's what He's called us to do. Look at His methods, if you will, in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6, talking about the wiles of the devil. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's those in authority. Now I want you to look at this. He's ratcheting this up every time He says one of these. They get a little bit deeper into this. First is those in authority. But then He says, against powers. Those are the people who have privilege and are powerful. Often the wealthy are powerful, right? They control. In fact, we could say today that the powerful in our country probably control our country more than anybody else in the laws and the things that we do. Probably have bigger than the people have a say-so. But principalities, powers, then look what He does. He says, the rulers of this world. Who is the ruler of this world? This is an epithet for Satan himself, the ruler of this world. He is him. It's ratcheted up each time. And then it says, of the darkness of this world. That word world is not cosmos, it's ion. We learned about that last week, talked about it in the week before. What does that mean, ion? It means age. Age, right now, He's here. He's controlling things outside of what God will. God allows Him. I mean, He can't control anything that God doesn't allow. But whatever God allows Him to do, He can do. So Satan, he says, of spiritual wickedness in high places. That word wickedness means depravity. It means sinfulness. That's what the devil wants us to do. Satan has many allies in leadership positions in the world that we live today. And we need to know what's right and what's true that we can be able to stand up to those things. In John chapter 4, verse 1, he told us to try the spirits. And that word spirit there, it means spiritual or breathe out. But there are good spirits and there are bad spirits. And we need to know the difference. God has allowed Satan to have this power for a season. He is the prince of the power of the air, we read in Ephesians 2:2. He's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's the prince of this world, according to John chapter 12, verse 31. He is the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. But God hasn't left us defenseless. He's given us the whole armor of God. And that is where we can have the power to stand, to be able to withstand, to be able to resist, is with the whole armor of God. All seven pieces. Some people think there's six. Praying is one of those pieces. Praying is getting the communication from the commander. Okay? Talking to our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to do that. We'll get to that later, though. And we know that if you try to make the analogy today of a soldier in the Army, what they do is they go down the recruit station. I want to join the Marines. Now, I never wanted to join the Marines. I watched Gomer Pyle and didn't want to join the Marines. I joined the Navy. The Marines are the men part of the Navy, by the way. They don't like you to tell them that, but the Marines are part of the Navy. We always call them the men part. They used to joke about that. But nonetheless, you go down, join, and they sign up, and you swear in, and they give you a uniform, and they give you some weapons and say, okay, we're heading to Afghanistan, or we're going to Iraq, or we're going wherever. No, they don't do that, do they? Not at all. What do? They train us. They teach us. They spend time with us. We have to know what to do. We need to be prepared for the tactics of whatever battle it is. They have urban tactics today. Years ago, they didn't teach that. I'm sure they teach more jungle tactics since Vietnam. And that took place. We had a bad time over there. So there's some things that they do. And we would never send a soldier or anybody out into a situation, police officer, border patrol agent, whoever, in a situation where they don't have some idea how to respond and act in those situations. Now, they'll not know every situation, obviously, because you don't see every situation, but you'll have an idea. And that's what we do to Christians. We get saved and we forget that, hey, we need to know what our tools are and how to use them. Because there is a battle. It's not just, hey, a better rose garden, and everything's good. And I remember people used to say that. You get saved and trust Christ and everything will be great. Now, I understand what they mean by that, but someone telling me that, I don't. If I'm lost, you know what that means? That means my life's going to be wonderful. It's going to be like heaven, bliss, and all this stuff, no problems, in a mind-thinking way, as a young person especially. But that's not true. And God is not going to send us out without preparation. Dr. Cufford always used to say, now that I said that, he said, a call to the ministry is a call to be prepared. Said it something like that, right? Okay. A call to the ministry is a call to be prepared. Who's called to the ministry? Every born-again believer. Now, that doesn't mean you're necessarily called to go to the mission field. That's a foreign place. Or you're called to be a pastor. But you are called to be trained up. Ephesians chapter 4 teaches us to be able to do the work of the ministry. And so we need that training. We need to be prepared. And God has given us some things that will help us. Verse 13, he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And he tells us again, so that's the second time he mentioned it. You know that's important. And he tells us why, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. And then he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, the girdle of truth, as we look at that, what is that? The girdle of truth is something that a Roman soldier would wear, and what he has on, he has a tunic on, and those tunics usually go to about the knee or so, and he would take the belt, and he would gather the tunic together, so it wouldn't be loose, flying around, so he could actually hold everything together, if you will. And that's what the truth does, doesn't it? It holds everything together. The truth of God's Word, it keeps us to understand what God has for us to do. If we know what the truth is, we will not be fooled by that which is false. If we know what the Word of God teaches, then we will be on guard for when something phony comes along. You think about the truth is our strength. Because we know what's right and what's wrong. And so that's important to know the truth, to understand the truth. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the truth, right? In John 14, 6, he says, when Jesus was speaking, because Thomas asked the question, we don't know the way, or how can we know the way? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto me but by the Father. Or excuse me, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he is the truth. He also told us that the truth will make you free. In John chapter 8, verse 32, he says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he wants us to know that. How do I know that? Well, 2 Timothy 2:15, what are we supposed to do? Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right. He wants us to know that. He's given it to us, and we can know that. And that truth is in Jesus. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for just a second as we're thinking about the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, boy, time is flying. Look at verse 20. And again, he's stepping down through here and he's talking. This is where he talked about the perfecting of saints. But in verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Okay, he says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He wants us to renew our minds. And he says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. And that's the very next place we go, isn't it? Righteousness. And that's what he says. He talks about the breastplate of righteousness. You know, you think about the breastplate, it's going to cover. And the breastplate, it went not only in the front, but it went around the back too. What's in the back that's a vital organ? Kidneys. Now, I got one here. I got two back here. It's kind of strange, but that's the way it is. I'm made different. No, not really. But you put that breastplate of righteousness on, it covers those vital organs. The heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, the bowels. And so a soldier wears a protected vest so he can face the enemy in battle. Because our enemy, Satan, wants to attack us in every single way he can. He wants to tear down righteousness. He wants us to think like he thinks. He did this very thing to Eve in the garden. As subtle as he was, he came in and he told her, you can be like gods. Now, God never told them they were to be gods. He told them to follow me and obey me in every area, and he only gave one thing not to do. And that's how subtle Satan is. He knows where our weaknesses are. He attacked Eve first. He didn't attack Adam. He attacked Eve. She was deceived, but Adam disobeyed. And that's why we're in the condition we're in today. And so we want to be ready to understand that righteousness, that breastplate of righteousness is important for us. See, the truth reveals righteousness. And when we know the truth, we're to walk in righteousness. That's putting on the righteousness of God. Standing before a holy God, we're just. Obviously, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, that is true. But we still have to live this life. We can walk around without the truth as a Christian. We can walk around without the breastplate of righteousness. We can walk around without the preparation of the gospel of peace. We can do that. We get to make that choice. I really don't understand God yet. I'm looking forward to seeing him. And he'll explain it to me right away, I'm sure. But he gives me the opportunity to reciprocate the very love that he gave to me by sending his son to die on the cross. And that love is that I will follow him and give myself totally like he gave Jesus totally to us. That's what he wants us to do as followers of Christ. So we need that breastplate of righteousness. You know, my righteousness is as filthy rags. But our righteousness hinges on Christ and our obedience to him. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We want that righteousness. We want to live in that righteousness. The next thing he says, the shoes, really he's talking about being prepared, our preparedness of the gospel of peace. You know, you think about it this morning, and I never used to think about this. Maybe some of you, like Jim, I know because he talks about it every now and then, But there used to be a time, this sounds funny, but I didn't know I had feet. Now, you're saying, what do you mean by that? Well, I never thought about my feet. I didn't care about my feet. They were there. They did their job, but I didn't have any inkling that they were there. It was all automatic. Today, every day, I know I got feet. With neuropathy, you're reminded. Every day, you got feet. It's there. And I know I got them. I think about them. Used to never did. But the feet are the foundation of our lives. The feet is where we take and stand. Now, the Roman soldier, he had shoes on with, they called the hobnobs on them, that they would be able to stand and then progress and move forward. And all of these are analogies. They're not talking about having these shoes on. They're talking about being prepared with the gospel of peace. Preparation of the gospel of peace. This is talking about training. It's talking about knowing the truth. Practicing the truth. Living the truth. Why? Because we have the gospel of peace. It's that gospel of peace that changes a person's life. Jesus told, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. If you're saved and born again, you're a peacemaker. That's why we're here, is to help others make peace with God. And how do we do that? By sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for people to put their faith and trust in Jesus. They too can have peace with God. And it's important that we're prepared to do that. And as you think about that, you need to ask yourselves, today, if someone was to come to you, could you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them? Could you take your Bible and open it up and know where the passages are and be able to explain to them what those mean and help them to have understanding? If you can't do that, I want to encourage you to get back in there and be ready to do it. Why? Because that's part of the armor that we have. We need to know what this says so we can teach others and share it with others. Three things that I've mentioned Wednesday that really, they're profound to me, probably not to you, but I was thinking about this, and three truths, and one of those is that God loves you. God loves you. Hey, Jesus died for you. You know what the third one is? God wants you to be with Him when you leave this earth. That's amazing to me. And that's what God wants in our lives. He wants us to be able to share that with the Word of God and help explain that to them. That's the preparation, is the training. But then we move on to the shield of faith. And we think about that shield. That shield was a big shield that the Roman soldier carried. That thing was probably at least 4 feet high and, I don't know, 2 or 3 feet wide. And what it did was the soldier would be able to squat. Now, I can't squat too good, so squat down behind that shield and be protected from those darts and arrows that were coming at him. And that's what our faith will do for us. If we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the devil tries to do to deceive us, to destroy us, or to tear us down, we're standing on faith that we know the Word of God is right. And he can't deceive somebody who has faith, complete faith in God. But the problem is I don't. But I'm striving for that. So we always want to be prepared, and we always want to put on all of this armor. Carry that shield of faith, knowing that, hey, God's Word, that's contrary. I'm not going there. Not doing that. If you ever have and the Holy Spirit speaks to those that are His. And I know you've experienced this. Everybody in this room that's saved has experienced this. And if you haven't, then you might not be saved. But there have been times in your life when you just knew something wasn't right. You just knew it. It didn't come out in some loud voice from heaven say, don't do this or whatever, but you knew it wasn't right. And so you rejected that and said, I can't do that. We know that to him to knoweth do good and doeth it not. Well, it starts off with 4, but it is sin, right? And so that's what the Spirit does for us and helps us. And we have faith that we can trust God and believe what everything He says is true and not everything everybody else says is necessarily. The Bible teaches us that where we get faith is by the hearing of the Word of God. I want to encourage you, if you got a tape or something like that with Bible on it, hey, if you don't have anything to do, you're driving down the road, whatever, play that. I didn't think this way, but more and more I think about it, if faith comes by hearing the Word of God, every time we get the chance to hear it, it's good. And we ought to listen to it. And you say, well, I'm not studying on it when I'm going down the road. Well, that's okay, because you'll be surprised what you'll pick up when you're just listening to something. Most of us can do two things at one time, chew bubble gum and walk. And so when we're driving, a lot of times we're concentrating on driving, but you can hear things and that'll help us. It'll keep us familiar with the Word of God. But that shield has to be big enough so we can get behind it, so we can be protected. Our faith has to be big enough that we can get behind Jesus and be protected. We want that protection. We need that protection. The greater our faith, the less the devil can affect us. The less he can attack us. The less he can destroy us. If you're taking notes, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10, or 5, 5 through 10, go back and look at that when you get a chance. We're running out of time. Proverbs 3, 5, and 7 reminds us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. This is talking about having the truth. It's talking about understanding what it is so we can live this righteous life, that we're prepared with the gospel of peace, not only for others, but ourselves as well, and that through faith we can continually walk with God, and knowing that he is going to give us the right steps to take. He has a plan for us. He has the steps. When you're getting ready to take a step and you know in your heart it's just not there, it's not for you to take, and there are times you'll know that, you'll take a step and say, well, I wonder if this is right or not. Stop. Don't even go. Back up. Let's go ahead and find out from God. Is this the right step? Because you were given a warning and you get to choose. You can do like me sometimes, just take it anyway and go on down the path thinking, well, that wasn't a real strong a feeling or thought or whatever. But the fact is, when God gives, and it's just sometimes it's that small, still voice, he'll give it to us and remind us and help us. And when you're stepping in the right place, you know what he'll do? Hey, you're in the right place. Keep on going. That's what we all want, isn't it? To know when we're in the right place and what we're doing is right. And God does that for us. He come to the helmet of salvation. You know, the head is vital to our success. An unprotected mind is the ready prey for Satan. It always seems to start in the mind, doesn't it? You start thinking about something. It's not long after you think about it, you might even start to do it. And today, I just want to remind you that we're all consumed, every one of us, with the idea that we can step out and do something, and we can lose control of it just like that. Lots of things. We think about drugs and alcohol and smoking cigarettes and all those things, don't we? Because we know those are habit forming. Eating's habit forming too sometimes. More so than it should be. Those are things too. We have to think about those things. God has called us to do something, and it's not always what we want to do, but we want to do what God wants us to do. So an unprotected mind is ready prey for Satan. He likes to deceive us. He sends us delusions, defilements. He cannot read your mind, but he knows where you've been and who you are. He knows what has affected you in your life, and he can throw those in front of you. He will tempt you. He will terrify you. He will trample you if he can. But the helmet of salvation, I think, is more speaking about your security in salvation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 through 14 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence. That's what we want, is confidence, right up here, that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You know, doubts are going to slow us down in our walk. And eventually, doubts will stop us in our faith. So we must know that we know that we know who we have put our faith and trust in. That is something you want to settle as quickly as you possibly can. And how you do that is by studying the Word of God, because you're going to prove it to yourself. You're going to go in there and it's not working for salvation, but you're going to work out your salvation in the sense that you're going to know that you're saved because you're going to study the Word of God and the Spirit's going to speak to you. Because God's Spirit bears with our spirit. And it will teach us and lead us along that way. And so when you see something that you're wondering or you're concerned about, you check it out with God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. He says your bodies. That means what we put on, where we go, what we do, what we eat. That's our what we're sacrificing to Him. We're giving that to Him. It's His, not mine. And I struggle with that. And I think some of us do as well. But then He says, and be not conformed to this world. That is, we were transformed from this world into Christ when we got saved. But so many Christians get stalled in their mind and they're stuck in this world. And they want to chase the things of the world instead of chasing the things of God. Why? Because the advertising's out there. You turn on the tube and, man, there's things out there they want you to buy left and right. You go down the street, you get flyers in the mail. Everything out there wants you to do something. So does God. He wants us to do something. And He's given us the prescription right here. As you follow your doctor and take your drugs and meds like you're supposed to, that's what we want to do with the Bible. It's the prescription of living the Christian life. He says in the rest of that verse, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He wants us to prove that. How do we do that? As we study the Word of God and we step in the steps that He shows us. We have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. But then the sword of the Spirit. I'm trying to rush us up a little bit. It's really one of those things that He's offering us that's an offensive weapon. It's also defensive, but it's offensive as well. That sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, we mentioned before, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That Word of God, or the Word of God, it's what challenges me. When I'm reading the Word of God, it will pop out. One thing, it also confirms, it'll say, keep doing what you're doing. I like that best. But you know what? It does the other too. It will challenge me and say, hold it here. You're not quite stepping in the direction. Now I see that you're trying, your heart's in the right place, but let me show you the next step. Let me help you to take that step. And it's by faith. It's believing that God has said to do it, then I know it's got to be right. But you know what? You've got to convince me over and over and over and over again sometimes about that. Because I don't get it the first time. And so that's why we read the Word of God. That's why we study the Word of God. We don't give up on the Word of God. I have not learned everything I can learn in the Word of God yet. There's so much there. It convicts us. And when it convicts you, don't say to yourself, I'll take care of that later. That's the devil's ploy. He wants you to take care of it later. Because the farther you get away from something, the less likely you're going to do it. It's just not going to happen, probably. Because you'll have excuses or you'll go about your way and whatever. If He shows you something, take care of it then. Start dealing with it. It will change us. You see, we're not called to be like everybody else. We're called to be like Jesus. And that's it. I'm not called to be like Rob or Greg or Adam or anybody else. I'm called to be like Jesus. And everyone in this room is the same thing that's called of God. So we have a calling, and God wants us to find out what that is for our lives. And it's obvious the will of God today is for you to be here in this church. It's the will of God for you to be in church if you're a member of a church all the time. That's just the will of God, according to the Scriptures, unless providence be hindered. So we have the opportunity to take the Word of God and use it for what it has its purpose for. We also are to preach the Word of God. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're almost done. Talking about the sword, the thing that God has given to us to use as that offensive weapon as well as the defensive weapon to help us to know what's right and true and putting on the righteousness, having been prepared for the preparation of the gospel of peace, having the faith that we need to walk in this world that He's called us to work on, having a right mindset. That's what the Word of God does. But also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Timothy is getting this from Paul. He says, I charge thee. I'm sorry? Oh, okay. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. He's saying, the Lord's coming back, okay? He says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. In other words, continually sharing the Word of God, continually trying to win people to Christ, continually help them to know that you believe that God can change their lives and He has changed mine. How do I know? Because you're different. If you stand alongside them and you act like them and dress like them and be like them, you're not different. What's the Spirit of God done to you that makes you different? He makes us different. He will do that as we surrender to Him. And then he goes on and says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We are closer to that time than we ever have been before, I think. Used to, people, we lived in a moral society. They knew the Bible to some degree, not everything, but they knew about it. Today, they don't even know about it. People don't even read it, don't look at it. There's no God, and they don't care anything about it. And if you study the Bible, you're one of those cults. You're one of those weirdos. If you're learning the principles in the Word of God and trying to live by the Bible, you're a strange individual. But the Bible teaches us we are. In verse 4, it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. In verse 5, it says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. Again, for us to do that is to put on the whole armor of God. That very last thing is praying. And we're just going to wrap it up there. He talks about praying. And again, I mentioned, you put all this armor on. You put the belt on that pulls everything together. You put the breastplate of righteousness on that helps us that we know what's right and we stand for the truth, because the devil's going to send the lies, the delusions, try to trick us and do things that we know are wrong. We want to know what righteousness is. The only place to find that is in Christ Jesus. So we also want to be prepared. We want to be able to know what the gospel says, be able to share it with others, but also go back and confirm in our lives that we're saved. You know, that's what's so neat about reading the Bible. If you read the Bible in a continual way and continue to do it, it's going to confirm, or it will challenge, or it will tell you either you're saved or not saved, or you're walking with God or you're not walking with God. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to know that we're saved and walking with God. That's my desire. I'm sure that's everybody's desire here as well. And so we want to do that and be prepared. So Jesus Christ is our commander. So we have the truth. We have righteousness. We're prepared for the with the gospel of peace. But also, we need to have faith. Faith is just trusting what the Bible says and doing it. And I'm telling you, that's not easy. But it's something that we got to work at. Remember what Jude said? We're to contend for the faith. He didn't say it's a walk in a park. He said it's a battle. It's a struggle. And without this armor, you haven't got a chance. I don't have a chance. Not going to happen. I need all of it. Every single piece of it. I need the helmet of salvation. I need to know that I'm saved. And I need to know how to share that with other people. I also need the Word of God in my life. There are many Christians living today, and I don't think anybody in here is in that condition, but they take their Bible after church, and that's where it ends, until the next service. And they're going, where's my Bible at? Well, they find it. It's right where they left it. They knock the dust off, and they go to church. And maybe they'll open it up during the service. But that's maybe all the Bible they get. These are people who go to church regularly. A lot of people are like that. And then they wonder why they don't know what God has for them. Or maybe they think they're living in bliss in that condition. But God has so much more for all of us. We just got to go find out what it is. And then finally, praying. Getting the communications open with our Savior, our Commander. Trying to find out. We tell Him what we're doing. Tell Him what's going on in our lives. We praise Him. Ask for guidance and directions. He mentions two synonyms, that is prayer and supplication. Prayer is addressing God. Supplication is making the petitions of our needs. We do that for ourselves, but also we're to do that for all saints, he says. And that is where this all comes in. When you and I have the armor of God on, then when we go and communicate with God, we have our brothers and sisters' backs covered. Remember, you hear that all the time, how soldiers talk about covering their brother's back. I got your back, brother. Talking about being in battle or whatever. That's what we need, is our backs to be covered. And how is that happening? By prayer, making supplications, or petitioning the needs of other people. And if we don't have the armor of God on, we're missing out because we're not protected. We're going to get shot up. We're going to get in a place where we can't even talk to God. Why? Because if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. Today, dads, I want you to know that it's so important that you get into the Word of God, you put on the armor of God, and you're going to fail. You're going to fail. But you don't stop. We have a loving Savior, a merciful Savior, one that has given us the grace. And that failure does not have to remain a failure. That's just an opportunity and another chance to step up to the plate and do that which is right. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. So when I fail, I can just admit it to God or to whoever else, and it will be taken care of. But I have to do that. I have to be real about that. You have to be honest with it. When you fail, you need to talk to God. He already knows. You can't hide it from Him. He knows. Get right, you're going to have a hard time communicating with God and walking this life. It's a spiritual battle, and it's a hard battle. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank You so much for all that You give to us. I can't even fathom Your love. I don't really even understand it. You loved us so much that You sent Your Son to die for us. And when we put our faith and trust in You, You're asking us to reciprocate that love. Have that love that we cannot live without You. And we want You in every area of our lives. Help us to put on the whole armor of God so we can stand and withstand in the evil day. For the methods of the devil, they're dangerous. I just pray You'd have Your way in each life here today. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.